Oh, we're live. Okay, great. Okay, guys. Well, we're off to a clean start, and Michael has mentioned that there's a dreaminess in restructuring the sense of agency. So I just jotted that down. And he said real without being, I didn't get the last part of that, Michael.
Real objects without the objects being things or dense things. There are objects, but and they're real, but not densely real with density.
Well, you know, I think this would be a good exercise. And this is where I would like to start. We could exercise, Douglas and I could be co-modelers, and Michael could be the focus, and we could look at just that, just the bit that he's given us here, and we can muse upon it, Douglas and I looking for structure, and that will initiate the process. And then we could probably switch over. You guys could be the modelers, Michael and Doug, and I can be the, you can focus on my dream.
Okay.
We could co-model together.
And excellent. I want to do that, John. That's good.
Let's look at the structure. Find the structure, underline the key words that we want to develop, and then practice putting that into the syntax. And I believe once you just get that down, you'll feel the rhythm of it, and it becomes quite enjoyable. And the reason I do this is that I feel it increases my emotional and linguistic and social intelligence. Even if I don't use it in a direct way, just that I know that I can, gives me a lot of confidence that I wouldn't have when I was having these brilliant downloads from the cosmos, and I had no adequate language to articulate what was happening so that I could share it with other people. I got very frustrated, which only enhanced my disenchantment. So I think that we can have these, like I mentioned, you can have these, you know, mystical experiences, but if you don't have a community that you can articulate it, it can turn into a lot of morbidity. And because, you know, it doesn't solve all your problems, and actually the problems that you haven't solved get worse sometimes by these expanded states of consciousness. So I think that's where I'm... that's where I have found reading Aurobindo and reading some of the texts we've been reading. And these persons who are really good at putting it into words, but you know, usually they're in an ashram or they're in an ivory tower somewhere, you know, and they have a vocabulary that's sort of been given to them already. And then they can use it. But I think now more and more of us are not in institutions or in, you know, ivory towers or working in ashrams. So we have to sort of find a community and create our own vocabulary. So that's been a lot of my motivation for sharing these kind of techniques has been altruistic, but it's also been kind of selfish altruism. So I think the weird and the unusual and the uncanny, rather than being swept under the rug, can be our focus. And so having said that, Douglas, if you're on board with this project, I can ask you to co-model with me by just looking at this. I've just got a sentence here. There's a dreaminess in restructuring the sense of agency. There's a dreaminess in restructuring the sense of agency. And have you written that down, Doug? If you write it down, I think you're going to have a... there's something about when we write something down, we externalize it and it's outside of us. So then we can take a perspective upon it. And that's one of the things that I learned too by doing these calls and by writing in between calls on the forum, the dramatic difference between speech and the written word. Because something about, you know, when you're talking and you're in the midst of a conversation, there's a lot that's intuitive and a lot of it is you don't quite understand, but it doesn't really matter. You keep that ball bouncing. But then when you look at it and write about it, all kinds of patterns start to pop up. And you have that detachment that writing gives.
I language it, it's bringing the abstract back down to the concrete.
Yes.
That's how I view it.
And it goes back and forth.
Yeah, right.
Which is what I love about this technology is we're able to do that.
Right.
In real time.
Yeah.
Right. I don't have to gather high quality information, then write a big essay or a big report, and then deliver it to some body that's going to give me a thumbs up or a thumbs down. I can just do the research right here, write about it, and post it this afternoon. And then you guys can say thumbs up or thumbs down.
And John, I know we want to get going, but it feels like I get the feeling that's a delightful feeling.
Yes, it is. Because, you know, institutions and, you know, higher institutions of learning can be very sterile environments. That's been my experience. I don't know about you guys, but I've had a lot of frustration because if you have an outsider point of view, academia is not friendly to that.
I've had a mix. I had one teacher that actually looked like George Carlin, and he taught logic like George Carlin.
I flunked logic, so I don't feel trauma for me. So, okay. There's a dreaminess in restructuring the sense of agency. So, Doug, I'm just going to ask you, what are you most drawn to in that? Or what pops out for you?
I'm not necessarily most drawn to agency. Just the term throws me off often when reflecting on individuation and just agency somehow gets lost in the mix, just the term itself.
That's your stuff.
Right.
That's what triggers you. So you have a sort of, you don't like that word, but this is his use of the word.
Right.
So even though
if we're doing plain language, then should we go ahead and start?
This is what we're doing, actually.
Right.
But I'm just looking at a word or a phrase that you want to use, then turn it into the syntax. Use the syntax.
And Michael, we're talking with you. And
he's seeing us model. We're modeling, co-modeling him, that he's can take an observer position. So this is a double whammy. but before we answer this, Doug, I just want to ask you, which one of the words are you most interested in developing?
The restructuring for this.
Restructuring. Okay.
Right.
You're going to go for restructuring. Which question do you want to, I would say work with a developing question. So of those three developing questions, is there anything else about that? What kind of is that? Whereabouts is that?
Right.
Okay, so that's the word, restructuring. Which one of those developing questions do you want to use?
For this, I would say, and when restructuring, what kind of restructuring?
Cool, that's perfect.
Is the restructuring.
That's great. So, and I'm going to ask about dreaminess, okay? So I'm going to ask, is there anything else about dreaminess? But we're going to sequence this so that you ask a question and a follow-up question, whatever however way he answers it, you're going to be now listening for a response, for his response, and finding a key word that then you do another question, a developing question. And then I'll do it. So you do one, you'll do two questions, then I'll do two questions. And then we'll pause.
Okay, so.
Hold on a sec, let's greet Katina. Katina? Hi, Katina.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Great.
We just started a process
Okay.
We're going to do a round of clean questions around a statement. Would you like to follow us, or would you like to join me on this?
Like a round of clean questions?
Yeah, and then at the end of this round, you can join us.
Okay, so sure.
That way you can observe it and get a feel for what we're trying to do.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we're chunking down, we're chunking slow. We're working with clean language, and Doug and I are co-modeling Michael. So you want to start, Doug?
I have a request. Can Cortina mute because the sound coming?
Of course.
Thank you. Go ahead.
So the phrase you use is, there is a dreaminess in restructuring a sense of agency. So when restructuring.
And when
restructuring, what kind of restructuring is it?
Ah, well, the image that comes to mind is having built a sandcastle, watching the water destroy the sandcastle.
So sandcastle and water and destroying.
Yeah, dissolving, destroying. I mean,
dissolving?
Yeah, because the restructuring has a feeling that something has to be loosened. Let's put it that way. Something has to be loosened up.
I will go with that last word, loosened up. And which developing question would you ask about that? Doug?
So... And when loosening up and water, is there anything else about the loosening up?
There's a spike in anxiety. There's an anxiousness that comes energetically, that comes with... comes with participating, witnessing, and participating and witnessing are one in the are joined.
And a spike in anxiety and witnessing and join.
With participating, it's like there's a participating as I'm witnessing this happening. I'm participating. Maybe by just feeling the energy of anxiety is a form of participating, but there's a witnessing of it.
A witnessing and a participating. And dreaminess. And when dreaminess, what kind of dreaminess is that?
What comes to mind is actually Doug's reference to being in the wind. A windiness, an airy quality that is moving in different momentums, different speeds.
An airy quality, moving different momentum, different speeds, and being in the wind. And I'm going to go for wind again. Mm-hmm. Maybe this is the first time. And wind. And is there anything else about wind?
Yeah, there seems to be a feeling of, there's a feeling of moisture with the wind. It's not dry wind, it's moist.
And moisture with the wind. And he also told us that it was there, and it was an airy, I think. So, moisture with the wind. So you have all of this to choose from, Doug. Is there a word that you want to go with? Or a phrase as we develop this? Or something that he's already said in this opening statement that you want to go with?
So as an aside, I'm feeling a little kind of thrown off with the two threads. I want to connect them. That's something I tend to do.
Great. I'm a Libra, but so you're feeling a need for a relationship question? That's a little of the next, that's sort of outside
right.
of the boundaries.
We'll stick with the dreaminess right now. And so, and when this moisture and the windiness does the wind have a size or shape?
Right.
That's challenging, and I'm just going to have to answer that. I don't know. I can't bring that forward.
And you don't know, and you can't bring that forward. And is there anything? And airy and moisture with the wind. And then what happens to dreaminess?
I sit down and watch the movie.
Ah, sit down and watch the movie. And what I just did was I just backtracked whatever he said and I went back to dreaminess. And I said, and there's a relationship, and I'm using the relationship question. Once you develop something, then you can create those links, create relationship. And I just sort of, so I don't go into a rabbit hole and just go to Neverland. I always like to loop it back to something in the original statement so that you can avoid endless regressions into unknown territory. Now, and sit down and watch the movie. That's a metaphor. And we could develop that further. I'm very drawn to the movie. So Doug, what kind of questions, are there some developing questions you could apply to movie?
All right, Michael, and when watching the movie and the wind, what kind of movie is this?
What kind of movie is this? Hmm. It's a comic drama. It's both comedy and drama.
A comic drama. Doug, what's your second question?
When a comic drama and when there's a loosening up and a spike in anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Does this comic drama have a size or shape?
Yes, it does. It's most of the time, it's the size of my room when I was a little boy.
Size of your room when you were a little boy. And Katina, would you like to join us? How would you feel about joining us? Can you unmute? You're muted, Katina. I can't hear you.
Okay.
Okay, so how do you want me to participate? Do you want me to...
So you're sort of getting the flow of what we're up to?
Yeah, your, Doug is practicing clean language questioning with Mike.
Right. And do you have the clean language questions available? Because if you don't, okay.
Do.
You do? Okay. Because I would like to get us all three working together as co-modelers, focusing on Michael.
Okay.
And I think the...
Well, you were starting with developing questions, right?
Yes.
Right.
But you know what? What if we switch over to... I can be the... If y'all focus on me, I think y'all have enough... You got a feeling for this, the three of you. Now, if y'all focus on my dream that I shared earlier, I don't know if you have it in front of you. Do you have it in front of you?
I don't have it, so if you can repeat it, it'd be good.
Okay, do you have it in front of you, Doug and Katina? I just posted it right before this.
Yeah, I'm pulling it up now. I'm pulling it up now.
So we could muse upon this dream that I'm offering to the group's consideration together. And okay. Then we'll generate a few clean questions, and then we could apply it in real time, and I can respond. We are having a physical struggle. Okay, can you, Katina, could you put yourself on mute except when you're talking?
Because sure. Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. They have this annoying music playing in the background.
Okay. So I dreamed of Charles. We are having a physical struggle. There is a great hostility. I hold his tongue between my fingers. You say, I know you want to die, but I won't kill you. And then I wake up. So just looking at the dream, you know, putting aside any need to interpret or figure it out, what are the key phrases or words or what pops out for you? Something that you would like to ask a question about? I have one. Okay, go, Michael. You have a.
Yeah, I have one. Just a minute. I just got to put this up. Just a minute. And when physical structure, where does
physical struggle?
Oh, physical structure. sorry, physical struggle. And when physical struggle, where is that physical structure? Struggle.
Okay, that's good. You want to write that one down?
Yeah.
Let's just generate a couple of clean questions. And then that's one. And can you generate one, Doug?
I'm drawn to the great hostility.
Great hostility. Can you develop a clean question, developing question?
Yes, so, and when great hostility, is there anything else about the great hostility?
Great. So, and Katina, could you generate a clean question?
Well, I'll go with the physical struggle and great hostility, but to ask, is there a relationship between the physical struggle and this great hostility?
Okay. You're going to ask a relationship question. Okay, great. So now we're going to do it in real time. But you've rehearsed your question, and there may be other questions that you might want to ask, and that's good. Just hold those. Okay. And also, whatever I say, there may be something that you want to ask further questions about. So I always have a pen and paper, and I listen to what they're saying, and I'm writing down with my writing hand the key word, so I can look down, there's a key word, and I keep following. Okay, so this is just a rehearsal. Okay, So, Michael, you're going to go first? So we'll go Michael, Douglas, Katina.
Okay. Yeah. So you want me to ask that question again?
Yeah.
Okay.
In real time.
In real time. Okay. And when physical structure... And when physical struggle, where is that physical struggle?
It's right here. It's a whole body tension, and it's actually more like wrestling than it is like boxing. There's definitely a sense of a wrestling match, but it's not like a sports event. This is definitely much more relational than it is like a sport event.
So I get to ask the second question, right?
You can do a follow-up question, and then we'll go to Doug.
Okay, that's what I want to be sure. And when wrestling, how big is wrestling?
Well, it's very tight and compact and concentrated, and in your face. So it's intense body contact.
Okay. Doug?
So, John, when great hostility, is there anything else about this great hostility?
Well, I want to say this is very odd. It transcends the physical.
And when transcends physical and dreaming, whereabouts is that transcendence?
Well, actually, I said it transcends the physical. So you need to use my exact word when you ask a clean question, because you said transcendence,
right?
So can you use the exact word I used?
So, and when transcends the physical, dreaming, whereabouts is transcends the physical?
Can you say that one more time? And transcends the physical? Whereabouts? Is that the question?
Right. Okay. Whereabouts is the transcends the physical?
Well, the transcendence is way up above, somewhere up here.
Yeah. And when above, way up here, does the above, way up here, have a size or shape?
Yeah. It's way up there, and it has it's like a corkscrew shape, sort of very like this gesture I'm making. It's very like a spiral, and it goes up like this, and it's connected to the back of my neck, actually. So I feel a current.
And when corkscrew shape and that gesture spiral and a current connected to the neck, is there anything else about that current?
Well, you can see I'm getting really into this. I'm a very somatic kind of person, so it really has a strong visceral feeling. It feels like an umbilical cord, like I'm caught in an umbilical cord.
And is this a good place to stop?
Well, we can pause and switch over to Katina. Thank you, Doug. That was great. And Katina. So out of all of that, you can develop whatever you want.
Okay, so can I start by summing up some of what you said? Okay, so said that it transcends the physical. The transcendence is way up above, somewhere up here. It's like a corkscrew shape, like a spiral that goes up like this, connected to the back of the neck, like you feel a current. And then it has a strong, you have this strong visceral feeling, feels like an umbilical cord. Okay, so what is the relationship between the visceral feeling and the umbilical cord?
It's funny. I actually I think the it's a little confusing, but I feel like it's something like almost in utero. And I do feel a physical sensation in my navel, actually. I have a sort of symptom there that I've had for a couple of years, which I've never really explored too much. But I don't know about that. I'm a little confused. But that's okay. I mean, if I'm confused, that's okay. So you can ask a follow-up, Katina. That was very good, by the way. That summary, we call that backtracking. You did a really good job of backtracking.
Okay, so you said something like in utero, you feel a physical sensation in your navel, a symptom that's been there for a couple of years. What is that physical sensation in your navel, a symptom that's been there for a couple of years? What is that like? What is that physical sensation in your navel like?
Well, it's sort of like a punch in the gut, but it's not coming from the outside. It's coming from the inside, which is kind of weird. It's a pressure, but it's like something coming from inside. How weird. It's almost like I've never been pregnant, or at least not in this lifetime. it feels like a baby kicking in there. Just like I remember my when my mother was pregnant, when I was a little boy, I would put my hand on her. On her belly, and I could feel my little brother kicking inside the womb. You're muted. If you want to unmute.
Okay. So you said it's like a punch in the gut from the inside. And it's almost like a baby kicking in there, like when your mother was pregnant and you could feel your little brother. So,
you remember it's spring
when. Okay, I don't know if I should go into a sequence and source question. Like maybe, should I go into a sequence and source? Like maybe saying, then what happens? Or
you can try that. Try it. So just get it.
Let me backtrack. So it's like a punch in the gut from the inside, like a baby kicking in there, like when your mother was pregnant and you could kill your little brother. When your mother was pregnant and you could feel your little brother, what
happened right before?
Okay, all right, what happens right before? You feel your little brother in your mother's stomach.
That's interesting, because I really remember, when my mother told us that she was pregnant with my little brother, and my first response was, internally, I won't say this, but my mother said, we pray to God, for another baby, and God has answered my prayer. And that, and I said, oh, then maybe there is a God. Because I must have had doubts until she made that statement, which is a totally appropriate thing to tell a child. But the truth is, she told us much later, was that my brother Tracy was actually an accident. He wasn't planned at all. But that would not be something you would tell an 8-year-old. So it's complicated. So this is a good place to pause if you would like, unless you have another question you wanted to move with. Unmute yourself.
Okay, from there, I would like to go into an intention question, because when you said that when your mother prayed to God for another baby, and you remember thinking, oh, there is a God. But then later, your mother told you that your brother was actually an accident. So it was just something you shouldn't tell an 8-year-old. So then I would have asked something like, so what would your mother would have liked to happen?
Oh. You could ask that of my mother's intention, or you could ask.
Or I could say, what would you have liked to happen? Your mother said that she had been praying for another child, and then you said there must be a God. And then later on, your mother told you that your brother was an accident, which is something you probably shouldn't tell an 8-year-old. So what would you have liked to happen?
Okay, I think the 8-year-old, I believe, trying to get back there. I think he was satisfied with that my mother's prayer and to God and having it answered. But later on, as an adult, being made aware by my brother Tracy, it was my brother Tracy who told me that our mother told him he was an accident. I don't think she meant to upset him. She was just being honest about it. But my adult response is, whether it was an accident or God was answering a prayer, both of them are miraculous events. And I'm okay with that. I consider it, whether an accident or an answer to a prayer, it's all pretty miraculous. That's good. That's good. You all have very good instincts. Shall we pause? Take a little pause? And we could, I just wanted to, maybe I should just go around the circle. Start with you, Katina. Is there anything you learned from this this event today, this rehearsal that we're engaged in?
Well, that was a lot tougher than it appears. Because I guess the goal is to try to simplify as much as possible. But yet you're questioning, which brings in more entities as you question. So it's a matter of trying to figure out from when you respond to the questions, how to, which new entity to focus on and to continue it. Because you brought in, you started off, you brought in your mother, and then your little brother and your mom and your mother's, when she was pregnant. And so, from there, I'm wondering, okay, then when I get into intention, do you still focus on you, or do you focus then on, you take the intention and focus on your mother?
Very good.
This is a goal to stay with you. And then the other thing I noticed was when I asked you, what would you want it to happen? I should have stayed there. What I should have asked, what would the 8-year-old would like to happen? So then I have to stay in the time sequence or the time period that your dream or memory is placed in. I keep wanting to come to the present, but if you're letting something from the past, then I need to stay there. So
very good. Those are very good observations. And there's something about when you're using intention, and it's a past self, an 8-year-old, and asking the intention, what would that 8-year-old like to have happen? And then you can ask, and what would your mother like to have happen? And you could also ask, and when that 8-year-old, with that intention, what would you like to have happen? The person now in the moment, in the present. So you can get the intention of the adult, you can get the intention of the child. And they may want the same thing, or they may want something different. But those are very good observations. And also, Michael and Doug, it was good that Katina followed her instincts and went into relationship and intention questions, because you guys had located it in my sensorium. There was a definite location that y'all were able to create the conditions for. So I think there was this up here and back of the neck. There's something in the umbilical cord. There was then the memory of the baby in my mother's womb, the relationship with my mother and my brother, and the whole miracle. And so I'm just giving you guys feedback on how I'm responding to your questions. And also I'm becoming a co-modeler with you. I'm the focus and I'm a co-modeler. And you're learning how to model, and you're also learning how each other models. And hopefully how the logic of this works, because it looks easy when it's going well, but actually there's a whole lot of things going on inside the modeler's mind, and he or right. she needs to be able to process what's going on out there with their client. And okay, well, that's an interesting thing. I could go that way, or I could go this way, or I could go that way. And that's part of the fun. And you never know how the person's going to respond. So, and I'm a particularly unpredictable kind of person, because I can go, as you may notice, I get very physical with the imagery. So anyway, did you guys learn anything you want to share or have comments about?
Well, you kind of spoke to it. For me, it's holding that tension of modeling without bringing whatever language I want, really focusing on your language, but I have to use language that's part of the human condition to talk with you about your language. So there's a subtle tension in tension with what am I doing with my intention of trying to model for you?
Attention with your intention?
Yeah, keeping my intention clean, per se, as far as, you know, not to jump the gun of trying to say, oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I get it. And do it in such a way that, well, what I learned is just relax and have a little fun with it, even though, yeah, I may not do it perfectly.
That's right. And relax and have fun with it.
Yeah.
Thank you. And Doug, did you learn anything from this exercise that you can share?
Build off both of what Michael's saying of just being, and what you just said of being aware, like there's quite a bit going on, and it's so easy to get sucked into, I think I said it before, of wanting to go with the metaphor and kind of make it your own, even as the modeler. And I especially like what Katina said, just going with the process and trying to know exactly where to go or what, how to ask the questions. But I like the succession of questions that you had there, Katina. They really worked out well. And for whatever reason, I want to think of it as a therapy session. And it's not necessarily that, especially in the practice zone that we have here. So what Mike was saying of, don't be too concerned about flubbing up your words or going out of order on whatever. But I really honed in this time. I felt a brief moment, just like maybe an athlete would with their profession or sport, where they go into the zone and you really kind of join in with the person that you're interviewing. I don't know the term to use, but for a moment there, I felt where I needed to go. And if you're present and aware, then it definitely adds better, or it rolls along just as it needs to go.
I just want to add to what Doug is saying. I add what I was saying. One of the things that's come up for me is there's a sort of excitement that if you're not careful, it's going to trip you up. You get too excited about the process. It can be mixed with anxiety, but there's actually a flavor of, wow, I'm doing this and it feels excellent. And you got to be careful. That's why I say give attention to your intention, because if you lose sight of your intention, the excitement itself of it just rolling along and being in the zone can kick you out of the zone, I guess, you know, in a way. You know, it's like the image that comes to mind is somebody that caught the football, but he's so excited to catch the football, he doesn't cross the finish line, you know? You're me, yeah.
Okay, Doug said that there's a brief moment, like an adult, like an athlete, going into the zone. And I could ask a clean couple of questions, probably. Probably you guys could too. What would you go for? We're looking at his modeling process. So, a brief moment, like an athlete going into the zone. And a brief moment, like an athlete going into the zone. And then what happens? Doug?
I'm projecting into the future, and I'm seeing it as some sort of a wind or a flowing into the zone. But it's something with more experience, you can build upon it. If you're not calibrated the correct way, you know where you need to be. And I'm thinking of recent dreaming explorations when I am about to tap into that space where maybe I'm not in control, or not necessarily out of control, but I pass myself on to some other form of awareness. But in the process, I'm honing in on that calibration. And once I find the calibration, then I know where to go and I can proceed from there.
And I just jotted down projecting into the future. And a recent dreaming experience, and tapping into the space and pass myself into some other dimension. I'm not getting the language exactly right. And so I backtracked, and I could ask another question, but I think we could pause, because I'm curious in the future. And is there anything else about that future? So he could go off into that. So I'm just letting you know, I have usually two or three questions, a cluster of questions that I have in the back of my mind. And I'm waiting for the timing, when the timing is right, to offer that question. And sometimes the question may linger there for quite a while before I ask it. Because it's really about timing. Now, that's my metaphor, it's about timing. Your metaphor, a brief moment, like an athlete going into the zone, that's your metaphor. Attention to intention, Michael. And when attention to intention, that's like what?
That's like being a child filled with wonder.
A child filled with wonder. And Katina, it's your turn. Do you want to work with that one? A child filled with wonder? You need to unmute.
Okay. So, a child filled with wonder. So what would that child like to happen? Or can I ask, what would that child be wondering about? Or is that, what would that child like to happen?
We can practice. Okay, which word are you going for?
We said a child filled with wonder. Said that, and so like a child filled with wonder.
So you're going to phrase?
Yeah. So like a child filled with wonder. So I could ask, could I ask, what would that child be wondering? Or would I be asking, what would that child be wondering? No. Or I could ask, it's an intention question, right?
You could, but I would ask a little, I would develop it before I ask an intention. Like, and whereabouts is that child? Does that child have a size or shape?
Okay.
And once you get size, once you get a location, a size or shape, then you could ask, what are you wearing? And what is that child wearing? And then what does that child want?
Okay.
Because you need to locate it. It's always location. And then you have relationships.
But
about relationships, before there's any location, people are.
So you have to sort of put you have to sort of, like when you say like a child filled with wonder, that's sort of out there and kind of vague. And so you kind of have to give it some space, and you have to give it like a form. So
yes.
You first ask, where is that child?
That's right. You need a form before it can transform.
Okay. All right.
form first and then let it, then you ask relationship questions and intention questions, and that can form
the So I could ask, where would that child be? Whereabouts is that child?
Great. And we'll see what he says. Could you repeat that again? And when? A child filled with wonder?
Okay, Michael, so when the child is filled with wonder, that child filled with wonder, whereabouts is that child?
On the beach. On the beach.
On the beach. Are you unmute, Katina? Are you? Did you want to speak?
Okay, that child filled with wonder is on the beach. So, what does that child look like?
Okay. What about this? A child filled with wonder at the beach. I would ask about the beach.
Okay.
Is there anything else, or what kind of, or does that have eyes or shape? And then ask that question.
So, I could, what would I ask about the beach? So, like a child filled with wonder at the beach, and then is this, could just ask what happens next?
You come to that. That would be a time question. And there's a, and it's great that you're leaping far with the logic about asking time. When you have a location and you have a, and you've developed a resource, then you want to go into the future of that resource. So, and wonder. And whereabouts is that wonder? Does the wonder have a size or shape? And when it has that size or that shape in that place, in that beach, and that kind of beach, what happens next to that wonder? That's one example. But that's very fast forwarding. And I think that's great, because you're getting the logic to the questions. Once you have a logic, you can really then apply that logic in lots of different ways, but it's location, location, location. 85% of the questions I ask are about location. Whereabouts, why is there shape? Is there anything else about that? And then the other questions about time, what happens when you have a resource, then what happens? You're getting the effects of that resource. Or if it's a stuck state and I feel like shit, well, I don't want to ask them what happens next if they feel like shit. That would be unpleasant, I'm sure. Always model something nice. But if they say, I feel like shit, you might ask them, well, what happens before you feel like shit? They may say, oh, well, you know, I feel fine. Or you could ask, and when you feel like shit, what would you like to have happen? And they may say, well, I might want to feel something different. So those are all things to be very mindful of. And you're all doing a great job. I hope I'm being a good modeler, because this is a challenge for me. I mean, I like to, modeling is one thing, but then teaching other people or how to model is something I'm learning how to do online. I've done trainings in person with people, but for lots of people, actually. I've had like 30 people in a class and I've taught this to in two or three sessions, but it's very different doing it online. So I'm very appreciative that you're giving me this opportunity to do this kind of research online with you guys. And I'm hoping the time we have left, I can, what time do we have? We have 15 more minutes, right, Doug?
We have, about 15 more minutes.
Okay, well why don't we...
We don't have to necessarily cut it off right then. I have a few minutes after, but I would prefer then if possible.
Well, yeah, let's aim for about 3:05 maybe. Does anyone have something that they want to work on? Katina?
Yeah, I want to finish the baby on the beach. I want to finish the baby on the beach.
The baby on the beach.
I will be back shortly, Mike.
Katina's going to be back.
I guess Katina.
Okay. So we're going to develop a resource. And let me ask you this. The baby at the, a child filled with wonder on the beach. And attention to intention. So Doug, if we're commingling this together, I'm looking at the history of this, this metaphor. And it started out with attention to intention. And I asked, what's that like? And he said, a child filled with wonder. So, and then he said, and then in response to Katina's question, he added on the beach. And I think we could ask one more question. And then we could go back to, is there a relationship between all of that and attention to intention? So we have attention to intention, and then we have two or three questions, and then we want to go back to that. So that's a general principle of preventing going into rabbit holes. You know, you can just go into these black holes and go get lost. Because we always want to connect as many dots as we can, especially when we're when we have a that first key phrase.
So, and when child on the beach, is there anything else about child on the beach?
Child on the beach is naked and mother is close by.
So, child, naked, mother is close by. And when naked, mother is close by. Is there anything else about naked?
The air feels soothing.
And the air feels soothing. And when the air feels soothing, is there anything else about mother close by?
Not afraid.
Not afraid. And when not afraid, whereabouts is that?
To the right, about approximately 3 feet.
You want to go with that, Doug? To the right, approximately 3 feet?
Mm-hmm.
And when not afraid, and to the right, 3 feet. Is there anything else about not afraid?
Sense of wonder.
Sense of wonder?
Without fear, there's wonder.
Sense of wonder and without fear. Hair soothing. Mother close by. Is there anything else about not afraid?
You've already asked that one. I think you should go for something else. because you asked that twice, didn't you?
Right.
And you gave me, told you a sense of wonder. And it's to the right, 3 feet to the right. So you could, is there anything else about to the right, 3 feet, or a sense of wonder? Whereabouts is that wonder? Those are all suggestions, those are all locations, but it's usually helpful to go for something else. But I think you may be onto something, but it isn't about not afraid. It is about attention to intention. So I'm wondering if we could, is there a question we could ask that could move, take all of that that he's given us and apply it? Ask a relationship question. Is there a relationship between all of that and attention? Or is there a relationship to all that and intention? So those are possibilities, probably too many to handle. There's, like I said, this is all in the back of your minds. I always think of it as a little bubble over my head with all the possibilities. I could go that way, or that way, depending on how the person's going to respond. So Katina, you're back. But that was great, Doug. I hope that was helpful.
Yeah, I'm back.
So does someone have a resource that they would like to develop, or a resource that you already have that you would like to develop, or a resource that you don't have that you would like to develop? And we could practice on that. Like, I want to be more skillful, or I want to be more cheerful at my job, or I want to be more assertive with my mother, or, you know, hundreds of things you would like more of, or there's something that you don't have at all. Like, you know, I want to have big muscles and washboard abs. So whatever you guys can come up with, like a resource or a desired outcome, you know, I may want to be more relaxed, or I want to express my affection more openly. Whatever you guys come up with, we could practice in the next 10 minutes together.
So maybe we can go back to you, Michael, since we keep cutting you off in the middle of your clean language session there.
So, okay, let me do it this way.
Maybe we can.
Michael,
go ahead.
What have you learned today that is useful for you?
What I have learned is a better relaxed feeling with my own unconscious, whatever you want to call it. But I've learned a lot about how to be relaxed with a gift I have to really understand what I'm feeling and how to work with the moment that people are being inquisitive about my inner experience.
I have learned about being relaxed when people are inquisitive about my inner experience.
Yes.
Okay, so I sort of summarized.
Yes, yeah, right.
But he's agreed that that's good enough.
Yeah.
Okay. So I have learned about, could you repeat that, Michael?
I've learned that I can be relaxed when people ask me about my inner experience. I can feel relaxed and not feel like I have to maybe perform in a certain way or pretend otherwise.
Right. I can be relaxed when others ask about my inner experience. So for the purpose of this exercise, I'm going with that statement. I can be relaxed when others ask about my inner experience. So, does anyone want to practice asking a couple of clean questions with all that you've learned today?
So I can open it up to you, Katina, since you haven't had much chance.
Can you unmute Katina?
Well, I could ask, can you repeat the statement again? It's, you can be more relaxed.
I can be relaxed when others ask about my inner experience.
Okay, I can be relaxed when others asking about my inner experience. Okay, so what kind of inner experience? What kind of inner experience?
The private images and feelings that I don't tell anybody usually.
Private images and feelings that you don't tell other people usually. And I don't know what to ask from you, because it seems like he's because I wanted to ask, and where about, all right, and where are those private inner feelings? But he told me, he said they're inner. So.
And when inner, is there anything else about inner?
Okay. So those private images and feelings that you don't tell anyone, is there anything else about those private inner images and feelings?
Yes, it feels like my heart has opened and it's not being closed off from another human being.
Okay. So it feels like your heart is open and it's not being closed off from another human being. Is there a relationship between your heart and another human being?
I would say that by my heart being open, the relationship exists.
Okay, so by your heart being open, the relationship exists. So when the relationship exists, what happens to your heart?
It wiggles, giggles.
The
heartbeat has a very distinct flutter that is a distinct flutter that feels so good that the only expression I have, it's a wiggle with my body and it's a giggle like a baby when a baby is just having a fun time with itself. I've seen my children and the thing, they move their body and they laugh, they giggle.
Okay. So your heart like wiggles and giggles like a baby when they're having a good time with itself. Then what happens?
Then it's not a matter of what happens, it's just happening. It's just happening. They're just happening. There's no next step. It's just being immersed in the happening. I guess that would be a way to put it. It's like almost like when you jump in a pool and you underwater, you're immersed with whatever is happening. It's an immersion.
That's good, Katina. Can you read this? I can be relaxed when others ask about my inner experience. And Katina went for inner, and she's gotten a lot of information. Doug, in the next few minutes, can you ask a developing question about any other phrase or key word. Which word pops out at you is something to develop? What about others? Relaxed? I?
Could you read it off one more time? I'm having trouble reading it.
I write it down. I usually circle it, and then I go off in tangents. Like,
okay,
that's my strategy. And then I always return back to this. Once I develop something, I return to this. So I have, I can be relaxed when others ask about my inner experience.
So I can be relaxed when others ask about my inner experience. And is there anything else about the others?
A kind safety. A kind sense of safety.
Kind sense of safety.
Yeah, a kindness, a sense of kindness with safety.
So a kind sense of safety, a sense of kindness with safety. Kindness. And whereabouts is the kindness?
You know, it's an interesting description because it's almost like two people being in a river standing apart and we feel the river move between us.
So two people in a river, feeling the river
moving between us and around us.
And is there a relationship between the other and the river?
Yes, there is. It's the best word for it is there's an openness. There's an openness between us and the river. There's openness that has no boundary.
No boundary. So there's an openness and no boundary. And a kindness, sense of safety. Is there a relationship between sense of safety and no boundary?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Yes. Because it's a releasing of an old boundary that needed safety.
So he's modeling himself now. That's good. I also just got two people, a river standing apart, river moving between. And I was just curious about two people. Is there anything else about two people? What kind of river? Does that river have a size or shape? Standing apart, how far apart when standing apart and moving between them. So I don't know how we would respond to that, but I would just go into that. Mm-hmm. And you could find all those words and you could ask all kinds of questions. And then as you did go back to others. We could then, and with all of that, is a relationship, or with all of that, what happens to, I can be relaxed. So there's location, intention, relationship, time, before, after, during, and knowing what the logic is. We always want to, especially at this beginning phase, model something nice, not nasty. So if someone says, well, I would like to be happy, but I really feel like shit, you don't say, oh, you feel like shit. Is there anything else about shit? Whereabouts is that shit? And you'll have them stuck in shit for the rest of the day. So you really want to be happy and you feel like shit. When you really want to be happy, but you feel like shit, is there anything else about happy? We're modeling something really nice. And then we can get more resilient and strength in the system. You may want to go back and talk about shit. And with all of this, because you're so resilient and strong now, what happens to that shit? And then the person says, well, I flushed it down the toilet. You know? excuse me for my vulgarity. No. But I think you guys get my point.
John.
Very tricky. It's not easy. This stuff is not easy. I applaud all of you for bringing your skills in other areas to this practice, because it is a challenge for me, and it's a continuing challenge, because sometimes people go in areas I could not predict. So it's definitely about being able to, like a dance, you know, you follow and you lead, but who's leading and who's following? If you're dancing well, it's not that important. Mm-hmm. And that's my metaphor today, mm-hmm. in language. Yeah. When I'm doing it at my best, it's like a dance, but it could be like an athlete in the zone, and it could be paying attention, and whatever else you want to use, because I think these self-metaphors are very, help us organize our behavior better.
I just want to say, you said something that really came online is, you pointed out that I began this self-model, and that's very true. And it was like with both of you or all of you, it was like, wow, it was just very delightful to know that came online for myself in the midst of you modeling for me.
That's great. That's great. And I'm wanting to ask you one more question, because I know we have to go.
Okay.
But if we learn, is there a relationship between all these, the modeling exercises that we've done today, and altered realities?
Yes.
Or alternate realities?
Yes. There is are you asking me or the group? I'm sorry.
The group, or anyone who wants to respond.
I feel there is a relationship, because for me, this practice helps me actually not be afraid of alternate realities.
Right. And does anyone have something different, Katina or Doug?
Yeah, I guess when you were asking or noting how I learned with the athletic reference or metaphor at that time, I immediately went into the dream mode, or equated it with my own personal attempts. It's more of a meditative state, trying to get into that dream mode. So in a way that it's all interrelated to this project here. Yeah.
Thank you. And Katina?
Well, I agree with what Michael and Douglas were saying, but I think that one of the things about this, the modeling and the questioning, the clean language, is that you get to a point where I think it's fine to be able to be comfortable in alternate, in dealing with alternate realities, but at the same time, I feel like I have to be careful that I can still maintain a faithfulness to reality, okay? To still know where I stand. And I think that this modeling in the language, I know when I have been the subject of the theme questioning, it leads you, it guides you to a point, and this is what I can relate to Michael, where the modeling arises when you start to experience like this self-realization, you start to, the questions sort of lead you into your own realization rather than, you know, if the realization comes from within, rather than coming from an outward source. The questions are just simplifying and just sort of guiding you, but all of the content and materials coming from within. So that's one of the things I like. So you can, so in terms of agency, you can have complete ownership over that self-realization, and then rather than being the source of someone's influence or being manipulated into some type of conclusion or some type of truth about yourself. It's something, it's this truth that you can take ownership of because you've realized it yourself.
Yeah. Thanks to all of you. And I guess we've run out of time because I know Doug had something run off to, but this has been a learning for me, and I will post some stuff online, and bring your dreams or your desired outcomes to our next session, and we will go with it. And I believe we've raised our skill level, all of us, and we're working we're sponsoring one another, and this is much bigger than clean language. Because you've raised some very deep philosophical questions about altered reality, and then there's this reality. And we want there to be a good relationship between the imaginal and the reality that we share, a consensus reality. And I believe that consensus reality becomes more interesting when we're able to have a healthy relationship with our inner experience, if you want to call it that, or our unconscious, or with the divine. So I hope to make us all even better channelers. I think we're all pretty good right now, but I believe we can always get better at making space. You gotta go?
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Thanks, everyone. See you next
time. Thank you, Doug.
Thank you, John. Thank you, Doug.
It was fun. I enjoyed it. Thank you all.
Take care. Bye-bye.
See you next time.
We'll talk about it more later, I guess. But we'll try again next week.
Yes. We'll do the same time if this is good for you. So
earlier actually would be better than this time. So we'll go back to our typical
12
noon. Yeah, noon Eastern. So
okay. So we'll confirm with everybody. Okay. Talk to you
soon. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Goodbye.